Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we ask as we do every service that you'd meet with us. We ask you to be at the rest of the singing, be at the special. And Lord, I ask for your power now as I preach. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with anyone still getting here, that they'd get here safely. Take care of those that are sick at home. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
We'll be singing Higher Ground, number 246.
Pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Has no desire to stay, but doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still a prey till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
I'll say it now so I don't forget it later. Don't forget that Saturday night is time change, which means I shouldn't tell you, because that way those of you that don't usually make it to Sunday school would make it to Sunday school. And you'd be surprised and you'd go, wow, I didn't even know you had a class at this time, because some of you never come to Sunday school, so you wouldn't know. But this is that night that you actually gain an hour of sleep. So it's good for us old folks when we go to bed at 10. It's not really 10. Well, I don't go to bed at 10. When you go to bed at 10, it's not really 10. You just went to bed at 9 o'clock. So pat yourself on the back, you get an extra hour of sleep. Or you can do like the kids do, and they look at it as an extra hour to play. Because when you say it's time to go to bed, they go, oh, no, tonight's time change. We have another hour. So it always depends on your age, what perspective you have about the time change. But that is this Saturday night. Now, again, if you're like me, my phone Only thing that doesn't change that I use is the microwave. The microwave doesn't change the time. You have to change the time on the microwave and the car. The car and the microwave are the only two I usually have to change. But good news is most phones do it on their own, and that's good because otherwise some of us would not. That's my. I don't know if you use your phone for your alarm clock, but my phone's been my alarm clock for several years now. So if my phone didn't change, I would be the one that would be early for Sunday school. But don't forget time change. As far as praying for the folks who are sick, continue to pray for the Mrs. Vita Rees. Again, don't forget to pray for her daily. She's still in recovery and rehab. Mrs. Milliken's still not back to 100%. Brother, when I talked to him a few days ago, he said that she's getting a little bit more feeling in her leg, but still not back where it works like it's supposed to. Pray for Brother Lowry and the fact that he needs a kidney transplant, so pray that God will bring along a kidney transplant for him. Don't forget to continue to pray for Preacher and Cindy all the time. And then again, we're still praying for Amy Smith and the loss of her husband and the kids and the loss of their dad, so don't forget that. Don't forget the normal stuff going on this week, which means you made it to church tonight, so you didn't forget this one. That's good. So tomorrow night, 6:45 for soul winning. And then Friday night, youth activity, 6 to 7:30. Now, we probably will be inside, so kids, if you want to bring some of your board games and games that we can play in the fellowship hall, we'll probably play some games inside. The cold weather, I think, is supposed to be around for a few days and maybe the rain as well. But again, we'll be doing in the fellowship hall 6 to 7:30 on Friday night. And then Saturday, bus visitation 9:30, so we're in 10:45, then back in our place for Sunday school, 9:45, church at 10:50. Trying to think if there's anything else I suppose. Oh, Brother Peugeot, are you here? Unless I tell you differently, Brother Peugeot would like to meet with all the bus workers after the service right down front, so all bus workers down front. I was supposed to mention that Sunday night, and I forgot, so I'll announce it now. So again, don't forget, if you are a bus worker, whether you're a bus driver or you work on a bus, meet right after the church right down front so Brother Peugeot can have a meeting with you. And again, don't forget to continue to pray. I was excited yesterday. I'm one that watches elections, and we didn't have now. I didn't know we had stuff going on until I heard about the early voting, but usually it's San Antonio, and I'm not in San Antonio, so I don't get to vote for stuff. And I didn't get to vote for the representative that was up. Some of you might have. I didn't get to, but when I heard there was voting, I thought, I got to go to the voting thing. So Tuesday when it came around, I was driving home. I'd been working all day driving home, and I thought, I better stop because I didn't know how late they stayed open. And thankfully, there wasn't. Now, this is one of those midterm type of elections, so I walked right in. There was no one there except the three poll workers. They gave me my little thing, and then I did it. Some of the stuff I knew what it was talking about. Some of it I did not, so that's not necessarily good on my part. I usually try to find out what all the amendments or all the things were, but that was all that I got to vote on. But I was excited last night when I watched that Virginia got a Republican governor and a Republican lieutenant governor, and then right on down the line. So again, a state that last year went the other direction, went back, and again, one of the main things was parents don't like being told what to do when it comes to their kids. And I know that firsthand because I've been dealing with kids for all my life. And I can tell you, the parents who love me, you know why they love me? Because their kids love me. And if a parent hates me, you know why they hate me? Because their kids hate me. That's usually what happens. And so based on what the kid's attitude is toward Brother Block, that is usually the parent's attitude toward Brother Block. So I learned that a long time ago. And someone apparently thought he could tell the parents what he could do. And the other one told him he would let the other one, his main thought was, I'll let parents have a say-so. Which, by the way, parents, if you have your kids in any school, public or Christian, you should always have a say-so, always pay attention. You can't just assume that someone's going to teach your kids the right stuff, especially in today's time and the time that we live in. I can tell you, your kids are probably not going to tell you some of the stuff they teach them because they don't want you to know. I mean, I always tell parents, be scared if your kids do tell you what's going on. And then I said also, be scared if your kids aren't telling you what's going on. So say, what are you saying? You got to be afraid all the time. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that kids get, and sometimes they get it from the teacher. Sometimes they get it from the other students. Sometimes they get it from the curriculum. Sometimes they get it from all the above. So, again, good news in some of those places. And, again, continue to pray that our leaders, and, again, I pray for our leader, whether he's one I like or don't like, because the Bible tells us to pray for them. But, again, pray for our leaders and pray for the men and women making decisions. My son was leaving North Carolina, and he was heading toward Colorado. No, he wasn't going skiing. He was taking his helicopter, and this amazed me. It broke down over by Houston, Texas. They had to land because the oil was going out. And when he told me, he said, I said, he landed it. They got an airport to let him go down. It was one of those helicopters that it goes straight up, and then the wings fold out, and it's like an airplane then. So I don't know which one that's called. He could tell you, but I don't know, nor do I necessarily care. But it's kind of like when you point out what kind of car people drive. To me, it's a blue one or a red one or a black one. I have no idea the names and don't really care about the names or what size of engine it has. None of that stuff has ever excited me. Now, you want to talk about hunting? We can talk hunting, but cars and helicopters. But he said the oil light came on, that they was having an oil problem. They thought maybe it was just electronics until another light came on that showed that the engine dumped all the oil. So he said somebody got some oil on their head that day. And so I said, so did you fill it back up? He said, no, we had to wait. No one here had enough oil. Can anyone guess how much oil goes in one? I would not even come close. One of those motors or one of those engines in a helicopter? 60 gallons. 55-gallon drum plus a 5-gallon can. When he told me that, I thought, good Lord, that's a lot of oil. Could you imagine having something like that? You had to do the oil change every few months, but 60 gallons. When he told me that, he said they don't have the right kind and they don't have enough. But that was just one of those amazing facts that really doesn't mean anything, but I thought you might be interested. So.
Please stand as we sing, I Am Resolved.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, is Avalon my side. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and
Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in church. I pray you bless the offering, the gift, and the giver. I pray you be with Pastor Nichols and Brother Block. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
We will be singing Rejoice in the Lord, number 312.
God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth the song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. I can see. Testing comes from above. God's strengthens His children, encourages in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in His care. Through purging or fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of it, path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
I'm going to stand in tonight, so. This is an old song. It's even in our songbook, but it's one that's been one of my favorites for many years. And when I practiced the other night, my wife said that that's one I should do. So always listen to your wife. Amen. So where the roses never fade. I am going to a city where the streets with gold are laid. Where the tree of life is blooming and the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. Soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. In this world we have our troubles, Satan's snares we must evade. We'll be free from all temptations where the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. Soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. Loved one gone to be with Jesus in their robes of white array. They are waiting for my coming where the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. Soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. Come with me, if you want, the Bibles to Acts chapter 4. I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight than I normally do. I usually have some illustrations, but I'm going to probably give you several minutes of illustration than just when I get, then I'll get to the points, because illustrations, I'm a big believer in parables. Tonight's not a parable, but it's similar to a parable. A parable in the Bible was where you told something, you used something that people understood to explain to them something that they didn't necessarily understand. And that's the easiest way to, for instance, if I was going to describe something really big tonight, and you knew what an elephant was, I could say it's big like an elephant. And you'd think, ooh, that's big. But again, sometimes in the Bible. Now, if you know anything about the Bible says that Jesus didn't even speak except in parables. And it said there was a place there where it said he only spoke in parables. And again, he just wanted people to get it. Again, the sermon also, now, Brother Taylor mentioned that last a while back when there was a sermon he'd rather not preach. This is one I don't really enjoy preaching either, but it's one I think is necessary. So I want to give you a thought. We're going to read the verse, then I'm going to give you a picture. Then we'll go and give you another picture that has the message titled in it. But notice Acts chapter 4, we'll read verse 13 and 14. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. And because they knew they weren't very educated, when they saw what these guys were doing and what they was accomplishing, they were amazed. By the way, God can use you and I to amaze a lot of folks. He can use us for stuff that you and I could not do on our own. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now they could tell where they got it at. They didn't get it from the university. They'd been hanging out with Jesus for a while. Verse 14, and behold, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Tonight's thought is this: you can't argue with changed lives. Now you can argue with unchanged lives, but the world cannot argue with changed lives. Brother Price, if you put that first picture up on the screen. Brother Jose, what kind of dog is that? No one help him. You know what kind of dog that is?
It's a white dog.
No. You know what? It's a good thought. That is a Chihuahua. Now, do you believe me, Jose?
No.
How come you don't think that's a Chihuahua?
Chihuahua's a small.
So you've seen a Chihuahua, so you don't know what that is, but you just know what it's not. Correct? Because that dog actually weighs about 100 pounds. Now, it doesn't right now because he's getting old and he's about ready. He won't be too long. He's called a Great Pyrenees. They come from the Great Pyrenees Mountains. They use them to keep an eye, keep the eye on goats and sheep. Sometimes you'll see people have sheep either have a llama or they have a donkey. Either one of those are also guards. But they'll have Great Pyrenees, and we've had them for years, all the years. His name is Dante. Now, he didn't know what he was, but he did know what he wasn't. Okay, and sometimes that's, and the reason for that was he had not ever seen a Great Pyrenees, but he had seen a Chihuahua. By the way, a Chihuahua is one of those useless little dogs about that size, that big. That and I say that now that I'm in love with a little miniature Australian Shepherd. But my Australian Shepherd does outweigh your Chihuahua every day. So, and that's just mainly because she's getting fat. But again, sometimes you may not know what something is, but you know what it's not. That's why Brother Nichols has often told you to read the Word of God, because sometimes you may not know why something doesn't sound right, but you know what doesn't sound right because you know the Word of God.
Amen.
Can't argue with changed life. Now, Brother Price, if you put that other picture up there. This has to do with what we're talking about tonight. I don't know if he has any noise with it or not. That is a duck. Brother Hiles used to have a statement. Here's what Brother Hiles often said. If it looks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, if it hangs around with ducks, it's probably a duck. That was his statement. Not rocket science. Thank you, Brother Price. If I let him, he'd play that all night and you wouldn't get to hear me preach. But I shouldn't have given him, that's the thing, you give him an inch, he takes a mile. Now, Brother Howe's statement was, if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it talks like a duck, it hangs around with ducks, it's probably a duck. Now, that isn't always true, but it usually is true. Now, my wife got on to me years ago because I took some duck eggs and put them underneath a chicken. I've told you this before, and the chicken hatched out the baby ducks. She hatched out some chicken eggs, and she hatched out some duck eggs. Now, I had to put the chicken eggs under her because the duck eggs take 4 weeks to hatch. The chickens take 3 weeks to hatch, so I put the duck eggs under her, waited a week later, put the chicken eggs under her. When they hatched out, she had baby chickens and baby ducks. You know what the baby ducks thought they were? Chickens. They followed around Mama. I mean, and they got bigger than Mama. And they didn't look like Mama, but they thought they were chickens. She would squawk and carry on, and they would go eat with her like she does when she'd find some food. They all run over there. When they had danger, she'd try to get all of them, her chicks and those ducks, under her wings. They thought they were chicken. Now, they were not. And by the way, they didn't look like a chicken either. They just had so my wife said, you got to stop that because you're messing with their heads. And she said, you're confusing those poor little ducks. But again, Brother Howe said, if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, and it talks like a duck, and hangs around with ducks, it's probably a duck. Now, brought some stuff tonight to illustrate the truth. If I put all this stuff on, if I put this on, and I put this on, And then I wore this. You probably would think I'm what? Cardinal fan. But if I told you, nope, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, you'd say, what are you doing wearing the Cardinal stuff? And by the way, you'd have a right to be confused. It would make sense that if I was a Dallas Cowboy fan, like some individuals around here, you would think if I was a Dallas Cowboy fan that I'd get me a Dallas Cowboy blanket. And I'd have me a Dallas Cowboy blanket. And you'd think that I probably would get me a couple Dallas Cowboy shirts. Some of you don't even know who this guy is, Brother Ayala would. And I could have me. Now, if I was a Dallas Cowboy, you'd assume that I wore Dallas Cowboy gear. You would think that if I was a St. Louis Cardinal fan, I would have St. Louis Cardinal gear. If I wore this hat, which I proudly wear, if I wore this hat and I told you I hate Dr. Pepper, you'd say, why in the world are you wearing a Dr. Pepper? If I said I love root beer, which, by the way, I do not. If I said I love root beer, you'd say, then why don't you wear a root beer hat? Okay? Again, I wear a Dr. Pepper hat because I like Dr. Pepper. I wear my Trump hat because I like Trump. Now, understand, if I told you that this was a leash for my dog, now some of you, after you've seen the picture, you might actually believe that, but this is actually the rope you use with a horse, okay? This is a guide rope you put around the horse's neck, and then you can lead, it's a lead rope, you lead the horse with it. But if I told you that was a leash and you didn't have any idea what it was, you would believe me. By the way, sometimes Christians confuse the world because the fact that a Christian tells someone I'm a Christian, and because that person has never seen a Christian before, never met a Christian before, you know what? They assume that person is telling the truth. That person can maybe do great harm to the work and the ministry of God because of the fact that they... Now, again, you'd ask me this question. You say, Bill Block, if you're not a Dallas Cowboy fan, why do you have Dallas Cowboy stuff? Because of storage units, okay? And the fact that Brother Yala didn't know I had these and hasn't taken them from me. But I'm not against the Dallas Cowboys. I just ain't a big Dallas Cowboy. If I was going to cheer for anyone this year, it'd probably be the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're not doing so well, so I don't know if I want to cheer for them or not. But the truth is, you would think if I was a Dallas Cowboys fan, I would dress. Now, again, if I was a Spurs fan and I went to a Dallas Mavericks game in Dallas, I'm going to be kind of out of place because you know what most of the folks in the Dallas Mavericks arena is wearing? Dallas Maverick stuff. Now, if I tried to fit in, if I wore their stuff and cheered for the Spurs, they'd think I was. They'd look at me and think, "What are you doing? You got a Dallas Mavericks jersey on, and you're yelling for the Spurs." Now, if I was a proud Spurs fan, and I am, if I went to the Dallas Mavericks game, and I never have went to Dallas to Dallas Mavericks game, I'd wear my Spurs stuff, and I'd be proud to wear my Spurs stuff, and I would cheer for the Spurs because I'm a Spurs fan. Now, I said if it looks like a duck, and it walks like a duck, and it talks like a duck, and hangs around with ducks, it's probably a duck. I brought something that most of you probably don't know what it is. If you do know what it is, please don't say anything, because you'd give away what it really is. This, years ago, how many of you know what a mow is? Not one of these mows, but a mow out in your yard. This is one of those things you use when you have mows in your yard. You put the mow poison in here, and you go around where the mole hole is, and you push that down, and it disperses the poison down into the mole hole, okay? And what that does is that makes it when that mole comes along and he runs into that poison, it kills him. Yay for the poison, bad for the mole. That's not what that really is. Now, you believe me because you didn't know what it was. You know what that really is? This is really made for old fat guys at the putting green or someplace like that. They walk along with this thing and they simply go. That's what it really is. It's not a, now, some of you believe me, you're like, I need one of those. I'm going to go see if I can find me one of those. I need a mow killer for the mows in my yard. Now, you believe me because you didn't know. You believe me because you'd never had seen something like this before, so you had no idea what it was. Now, understand, if you go to a church, you've never been to that church before, and all the ladies wore pants, and all the guys had long hair, would you assume they're all visitors? You would not. You know what you'd probably say? That church doesn't have any what? Standards. Yeah, you could be terribly wrong. Maybe no church member showed up that night, and a bus dropped off a bunch of folks that was heading someplace else, had no place to go. They dropped in for a free meal and a haircut. No, they dropped in for a free meal and a film or a slide. It may be true that none of those folks are church members at that church, but that's not what you would think. Because when you come to a church, by the way, you and I, now, should we judge? Probably not. Do we judge? Yes, we do. James made that very clear. Go over to James chapter 2 in your Bibles. James made us understand a simple truth. It is much easier for a person to judge you by how you live than it is by what you say. He said in James chapter 2, verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Here's what he says, show me thy faith without thy works, I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Oh, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, James was very big on works. What he was simply saying is, show us. Show us. Now, if I told someone that I love them, and I always was mean to them, they might believe me at the first. They're not going to believe me very long. You know why? Because I'm not showing any love. I'm not acting like I love them. So, again, they might believe me for a little while, but sooner or later, they're going to come to the conclusion that I don't really love them at all. Because I'm mean. Now, parents, I can tell you, your kids at times will think that you don't love them because you have some rules and regulations. And I can tell you, kids, if your parents actually have rules and regulations, they actually do love you. So sometimes when they make you unhappy, if you read in the Bible, I'll tell you there's a place where it mentions one of the fathers and it said he basically never told his kids no. He never displeased his children. You know what happened to those kids? They messed up big time. And then God killed them. I mean, they messed up. So if you're wondering, that's why the Bible tells you and I to spank them. And if they sound like they're dying when they're crying, just keep all right on spanking them, and you'll keep them from going to hell. What he said is that you'll save their soul from hell. You think, spanking a kid? Discipline, raising them upright, pointing them in the right direction. So tonight we're going to speak on for a couple thoughts on can't argue with a changed life. Now, Peter and John, they used to be fishermen. They are still fishermen, but a different type of fishermen. They used to fish for fish with a fishing rod or nets. But now they are soul winners for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going out winning souls to the Lord, which is what they're doing in that verse we read in Acts. They preached the gospel. They was getting people saved, and folks went, wow, I know these guys. These guys are dum-dums. These guys, they only went to the fifth grade. How did they become what they were? And by the way, Peter was not the man he was. If you just saw Peter when he got called into the ministry and saw Peter now at this point in his ministry, several years later, he was a different man. And I can tell you, because I know some of you, and I know me as well, and you know what? Some of you are a lot different than you were before you got saved. And by the way, that's what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to change like that worm that turns into a butterfly. Now, he mentioned, Brother Howell said, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, talks like a duck, hangs around with ducks, it's probably a duck. Let's first off look at how to look like a Christian. 2 Corinthians in your Bible, notice verse 15. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Guess what you get when you get saved? You get a new uniform. You do. Because you're on a different team now. Now, you were on the devil's team, so you wore uniforms that cheered for the devil. Okay? In your dress and in your appearance and in the sayings on the front of them. You get saved. Guess what? You want to get rid of that old uniform because you're on a different team now. Now, I don't know if you've ever been. How many of you have been to a soccer game? All the fellas on the one team will have say they all have a white jersey on, and one guy has a red jersey on. Is he on that team, yes or no? Yes, he is. What is he? He's the goalie. The goalie has to wear a different color jersey than all the other players. But all the other players, do they wear whatever color they want? Oh, no. They wear the color of the team, and they wear the color of the jersey that they're supposed to wear at that game. Most teams have an away shirt, and they have a home shirt. Sometimes when we played sports years ago, we would have to ask him, what color are you wearing to the game? Because the referee doesn't really want all of our basketball players in white shirts. Be hard to tell. I mean, we're wondering, did the guy foul his own teammate or was it on the other? I mean, they don't know the players like you and I do. So they all had to wear different colors that represented their team. And by the way, they proudly wore those colors because they were proud that they were on the team. Again, do we look like Christians? Our uniform. Deuteronomy chapter 22:5 makes this statement. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Now, Brother Nicholas had me do that a few years ago. Wasn't one of the funnest times of my life. Now, the time I dressed up for Halloween and went to Brother Perry's house, now that was fun. And Brother Perry told me later, he said, I didn't recognize you, but I thought to myself, Man, that is the ugliest woman I've ever seen. That's what he said. So if you're wondering what kind of woman I'd make, I'm not like Mr. Jenner. Although, by the way, he's probably the ugliest woman I've ever seen, too. He's right up next to Brother Block on Halloween. But now, Brother Nichols had me put on a dress. Come out of the baptistry in a dress, and I had to stand there. I borrowed one of my wife's dresses. She thought it was hilarious. I did not. But I put on a dress and had on a blouse, and I stood there, and Brother Nichols said, "What?" Because everyone started laughing. By the way, that's not what you should do. When Brother Block comes out, you shouldn't laugh at Brother Block, because it wasn't his idea, okay? It was Brother Nichols' idea. I was doing it under duress, okay? But one other time he asked me, and I said, "Why don't you ask Kurt if he'll do it?" I said, "Kurt's young, and Brother Block's already done that once, so why don't you see if Kurt will do it?" But he had me come out in a dress. And then when folks started laughing, he said, "What? Why isn't it okay for Brother Block to wear a dress?" Because then he said, "Some of you women wear men's clothes, so why isn't it okay for Brother Block to wear women's clothes?" Uh-oh. Got kind of quiet in the auditorium, much like tonight, but... Again, by the way, he says, "Men, you dress like men." He said, again, that verse says both things. It says, that, again, women should wear women's garments. Men should wear men's garments. By the way, if you don't know which one's which, look at the bathroom sign when you go to a public bathroom. They figured it out where many Christians never have. You know what they have the woman in? How you can tell it's a lady? Because she has a skirt on. You know what that skirt usually goes down to? She's not even wearing a miniskirt. You'd think if it was a worldly bathroom, they'd put a girl in a miniskirt. It's not. It's a lady with a dress down to knees, because that's how a lady dresses. It has a man's, apparel. By the way, another rule for uniform, for the uniform, is modesty, especially when it comes to the ladies. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 makes this statement: "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly, modest apparel." Say, what is modest? Well, the reason we have the rule that we have around here, that we tell ladies they should wear a dress down to their knee, it's because of Isaiah chapter 47. Flip over there and we'll show you why we have the rule that we have. If you're wondering where our standard comes from, it comes from here. Isaiah 47 verse 2 says, "Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks." And then here's what he says: "Make bare the leg, uncover the" what? "Thigh. Pass over the rivers." Now notice verse 47, or chapter 47 verse 3. "Thy," what's he call it when she uncovered her thigh? "Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man." So he said, when a woman wears something that's above her thigh, that's above. Now, by the way, the thigh, but we can use a chicken, because a chicken from the hip to the knee, that's called the thigh bone. I like thighs. I like dark meat. So I usually get the thigh and I get the leg. Extra crispy if you want to order something I really like. But I love Kentucky Fried more than churches. Sorry, Brother Sharp. But the truth is, he says the lady's supposed to cover up. Now, Brother Nichols has often said this: if you want to show that to your husband, knock yourself out. You should. Your husband should see, all of that, that you want to show. But the public's not supposed to see that. Again, modesty. There's a hair issue. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15. And by the way, the hair issue, just as the clothing issue went two ways, so does this one. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, "Doth not nature... even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him." So when a guy has long hair, you know what the Lord says? "Shame on you." Goes on and says, "But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory." So if a woman has long hair, that's glory for her. Jaden and Olivia, come up here for a minute. I'm going to show you what I did on my bus ride. A bus captain asked me a while back, how do you teach standards and modesty to your bus kids? And so I said, let me show you how I did it years ago. Jaden, take off your jacket there. You look a little warm here. I don't want you, with all this work up here, you're allowed to get sweaty. All right, just throw it in the chair. Come over here, baby. Now, I'll do it. Hopefully, y'all can see. Today sometime, Jaden. There you go. Now, here's what I would do. I would take I'd take a young lady dressed modestly, a young man. I'd stand him up in front of all the bus kids, and I'd say, "Adam, which ones, can you point out which one's Jaden? Is it this one or that one?" "This one." "Brother Perry, which one's Olivia? This one or that one?" "This one." Then I do this. Oh, I'm going to confuse you now. let's see if you can figure it out now. And I would mix them up with their backs to my bus kids. And I would say, "Okay, now, Brother Prey, which one's Olivia?" "Oh, confused you, didn't I?" "How can you tell this one's Olivia?" "Because she has long hair." "Oh, Brother Parks, can you tell me which one's Jaden?" "This one." "How can you tell it's Jaden?" "Because he has short hair." Then they say, I said, "How can you tell me, how's another way you can tell Olivia?" And they say, "Because she has on a dress." "How can you tell this is Jaden?" "Because he has on pants." That's how I teach my bus kids standards on my bus. Thank you, you can do be seated. Now, again, the uniform. That is the Christian's uniform. You want to look, you want to have on the home team's uniform. That's the looks. Now let's look again. Brother Howell said, if it looks like a duck, if it walks like a duck. So let's look at the walk now. Now we already read James chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. The walk has to do with our actions. The walk has to do with not just walking itself, but our way of life, okay? Notice Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 5, he makes it very clear that there's two groups of people. There are those who walk in the light. There's those who walk in the darkness. Notice Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. That's before you got saved. But now are ye light in the Lord. And then what he says is this, walk as children of light. So you know what that implies? You were in darkness, but now you're in the light. So does it say just keep walking like you were? It's not what he said. He said, so now that you're in the light, walk like children of light. So what that implies is it is a different walk than the walk we had in darkness. First, the changed life that the Bible spends quite a bit of time talking about. Again, our walk talks. By the way, stay away from the wrong crowd. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 tells you and I that be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Stay away from the wrong crowd. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 in your Bibles. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Again, we talk about the light and the darkness. 1 John chapter 1, notice verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Again, we have to have a walk of light. By the way, sometimes we confuse the lost. My youth director used this as an illustration, and it made a lot of sense to me as a teenager. Now, again, understand, teenagers, I don't care whether your parents don't even have to have standards, and you can. Husbands, your wife, your family doesn't have to have standards, but you can. Wife, your husband, doesn't matter whether he has standards or not, you can. Mrs. Block, that's one of the reasons I was drawn to Mrs. Block. Mrs. Block had standards when her family did not. Mrs. Block's family did not understand why she dressed the way she dressed. She went to a youth conference, made some decisions at youth conference, came back, got rid of some of the old clothes she used to wear, got rid of some of the music she used to listen to. It changed her life, changed mine as well. We had a party where we took the stuff to church, had a big burn barrel, and we threw all that stuff in there. Say, why? Because if you stick it away somewhere, it means you'll probably pull it back out later. When you get rid of it, you might go get some new stuff, but you're not going to wear that old stuff. You're not going to listen to that old stuff because it's gone. And by the way, I don't donate that stuff because it'd be like saying, well, this is poison. I'm going to go give some other people. If it's bad, it's bad. So I don't give that stuff away either. I don't drop it off at Goodwill. I don't give it. We burned it. But my youth director said this. He said, young ladies and young men, go out to the prom. Because, again, at that time, we didn't have a Christian school. Got one a little bit later. But he said, you're going to the prom. Young lady, you're at the prom. You're dressed in that skimpy. And I didn't realize how skimpy girls dress in skirts today. When I got down there on Saturday, some of the kids from my son's neighbors, they had a prom night. Now, by the way, I told my son, those skirts should have been cheap. You know why? Because there wasn't much material to them. So I thought, well, maybe they got them cheaper because there just wasn't much to them. But they wasn't wearing much, and they were 13- and 14-year-old young ladies. Now, my youth director said, you go to the prom. You're there at the prom. You're dressed immodestly. You're hugging up on that guy. You're rubbing your body up against him. And while all that's going on, won't you look at him squarely in the eyes and say, you going to come to church with me tomorrow? And then brother, my youth director, Brother Coy, said, that guy's going to look at you like, what? What? We're doing all, now you want to talk about, really? Talk about God? You know what? Those two things just don't go together. All that rubbing up against a guy that you're not married to. Now, girls and guys, once you get married, you can rub up against each other all you want. Hooray, hooray. But when you're not married, if you're not married to that person, you shouldn't be rubbing up against that person because you're not married to him. Now, understand, when he said that to me, I thought, because by the way, there are some things if you do them. If I'm telling dirty jokes and then the next thing out of my mouth is, hey, you guys going to come to church with me Sunday? That does, again, confuses the lost. I'm thinking, what? You were just talking like me and now you want me to church? And by the way, they probably aren't going to come. Or if they do, they're not going to take it very seriously because hasn't done much for you, hasn't done much for me if we're acting and talking like that. Again, he says if it looks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, then he goes on and he said, if it talks like a duck, a Christian's talk should be different than the world's. Notice Colossians chapter 4, and I must hurry. Colossians chapter 4, notice verse 16. Colossians 4:16 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That is, we're supposed to have graceful speech. We're supposed to have sound speech. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 8 says, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Talk correctly, that they won't be able to attack you. Thoughtful speech, and this is a verse I memorized when I was a kid because I had, again, but it still happens, it didn't end being a kid. My mouth got me into trouble when I was a child. It gets me in trouble sometimes today. But we want to have thoughtful speech. James chapter 1, verse 19 makes this statement. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Now, I didn't mean slow like, how are you doing? That's not what I was talking about. What it meant was, you listen, and before you talk, you think before you talk. You contemplate what you're going to say before you talk, and then you talk correctly. You say stuff that you spend a little thought on. So again, it's not talking about slow speech in the matter of your tempo. It's talking about slow speech in the sense of you think before you speak. Clean speech, James chapter 3. James chapter 3 has much to say about the tongue. And then he especially mentions stuff in James chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Notice verse 9. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Verse 10, he says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. And here's what he says about that. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Now here's what he said. That mouth that's saved, it is supposed to praise God. It's just not supposed to curse men. Now I can tell you, and I've told you this before, when I got saved Sunday morning, I went to my preacher Sunday night and I said to him, I may even said it when I went out the door that Sunday morning. I remember, I just know I said it to him that Sunday. And I said, does this mean now that I'm saved that I have to quit cussing? That was my thought. I mean, I'm trying to grow in the Lord here. And he said, he laughed. I didn't think it was very funny. I was pretty serious. It was a serious question to me. He laughed and said, yeah, I think you should. Now, I can tell you, cussing was a lot of fun. Cussing just has, I mean, now, some people, that's the only words they know. They have a very limited vocabulary. But I had other words I could say, but cussing, especially when I got mad, so I found that when I controlled my temper, it also was easy to control my mouth. And by the way, the truth is, if you're like me, you're probably not perfect. If you hang around Brother Block long enough, you hang around me for 20 or 30 years, I'm not going to ask Brother Taylor if he's ever heard me cuss, but he might have. Now, most of you have never heard me cuss because I don't cuss very often. But you catch me at the right moment. One day I was working on the four-wheeler, and that's why I said I hate mechanics. I was doing something with the four-wheeler, and I said something. I thought I said it in my head. It may have been out loud. And then next thing you know, Adam's like, and I think, oh, bless God. I said, tell me I didn't say that out loud. I mean, and he's, I don't remember what he said, but it's possible that I did. But I told someone the other day when I got really put out with somebody, I said, if you'll write down a bunch of cuss words, I'll sign them. I mean, that's the thing is. But you know what? He says that's not supposed to be how this mouth is used. This mouth is supposed to be used for some good stuff, talking about the Lord and praising the Lord and a lot of good stuff, the graceful speech, the sound speech, the thoughtful speech, the clean speech, not the dirty. So again, he said if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it talks like a duck, if it hangs around with ducks. Go back in your Bibles. I mentioned it earlier. I quoted it to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But notice 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm almost done, so if you wondering if I'm going to talk all night. I'm not. I said it looks, walks, talks, then if it hangs around with ducks. Now notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, this has to do with our friendships. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now I have some lost acquaintances. I don't have any lost friends. I don't. Now I know some lost people, but I'm not best friends with lost people. Now, I can tell you, when I worked a public job in Oklahoma City, I was around all those guys. I had to be careful because when I hear cuss words all the time, then it's easier to say a cuss word. Now, if you're not ever around a cuss word, it's much simpler. That's why sometimes it's tough in the Christian school with the teachers I have. It's really hard. Somebody's looking at me really seriously. See, it's not hard at Liberty Christian Academy because none of my teachers cuss much. And so it's much easier. Oh, I'm sorry, did I say that out loud to you? But they don't cuss. I mean, now the truth is, he says, I don't want you hanging out with that crowd. Evil communications, evil companions, evil friendships, they'll corrupt your good manners. Now you will think, and I've had dozens of kids and dozens of people tell me this through the years, well, I'm going to go hang out with them so I can bring them to the Lord. It never works that way. It's like a guy going out in his clean clothes trying to get the pig out of the mud without getting dirty. It just doesn't happen. Right. What happens is you end up both in the mud. And the pig's still happy and you're just frustrated because your clothes are all dirty. But I mean, the pig, he was having a good time in the first place. I don't ever exchange. I've had people say this, well, my friend says, well, I go to his church or go to my church. I am not going to go to a Catholic church so my friend comes to a Baptist church. I'm going to live in such a way that he realizes something's different about my church and he comes to see what's going on at my church. I don't have to go to his church. I'm not going to work a deal with him. I'm not going to go hang out at the Catholic church and listen to all that. I went to a Catholic funeral a while back, and I'm thinking to myself, someone just shoot me. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, Lord, and by the way, by the end of the night, I could say all their prayers, and I didn't know any of them when we started. But they said them so many times, and they repeated it, and they repeated it, and I'm thinking, we're not all that stupid. We got it the first time. Go on. Go to the next thought. I'm not sure what the next one is, but get off of that one. Again, hanging out with, again, he said, if you hang out with the ducks, you're probably a duck. Now, again, Lot was a prime example of that. And again, we often use him in Genesis chapter 13, verse 2. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. 13:12. Notice verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, they were really bad people. Lot's not with them yet. He just watches them. He just looks at them. By the way, he envies some of the stuff that they have. You and I shouldn't envy the lost crowd and the things they have. Notice verse 1 of chapter 19. You're in Genesis. Notice chapter 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, if you know anything about your Bible times, and if you listen to Brother Nichols preach, the reason they sat at the gate, well, he is now as one of the leaders of the city. They sat out at the gate, and it's like a politician shaking hands and hugging babies as they come through the gate. It's like a pastor standing at the back door greeting people as they go out. Lot is now part of the city. He's not just a resident. I'm talking about he's on the city council. I'm talking about he might have been the mayor or the treasurer or something else. He's involved in politics in the city. Notice chapter 19, verse 7. And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Not only as he moved to town, not only has he become part of the city, now he calls these Sodomites brethren. Now, I call you brothers and sisters, but trust me, that's not who he was calling brothers and sisters. He wasn't calling his fellow Christians brother or sister. He was calling the Sodomites brothers. So if you're wondering whether hanging out with the world will affect you, it did a lot. By the way, when he was hanging out with Abraham, guess what? He's a pretty good guy. And if there are Christians like that. There are Christians who have to have enough sense to know, I cannot be strong by myself. I need to be with some other strong person. Right. Just go attach yourself to them. Just ask them, hey, can I hang out with you? What for? I've told you this before, and it touched my heart when he said it. Now he's a grown man. He got a family of his own doing great. But years ago, Chris Green came over to my house. He'd bring over ice cream. And by the way, we didn't usually buy ice cream. One time he brought Taco Cabana, and we'd never had Taco Cabana. And it's like, ooh, that's some good stuff. And we sat at the house, and I said, you can live in a nice apartment, because he worked at UPS. He was a senior guy. I said, you work at UPS. You got good money. You got your own apartment. Why do you come to our house after church? He said, at your house, you control the remote control. At my house, I control the remote control. I like the way you can control the remote control. By the way, it actually helped both of us, because something that I might have watched if he wasn't there, I didn't watch because company was there. And by the way, because if I watched a bad show, and I try not to, but if I watched a bad show, I mean, there are shows I don't watch that aren't necessarily bad, but if there's a kid around, I don't watch it because I don't want the kid to hear some stuff that maybe an adult can handle. But Lot hung out with a long crowd and got him in a lot of trouble. Peter did that at the fire in John chapter 18, verse 18. And the servants and officers stood there and who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Later on, he was cussing. Now, the reason it happened was because he hung out with some folks, and they thought he was a Christian, and he had to show that he wasn't by cussing. So if you're wondering if a Christian is supposed to cuss, if there's no other place in the Bible that told you, and by the way, James made it very clear, that verse there that chapter there makes it very clear as well. Again, he said, if it looks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, if it hangs around with ducks, it's probably a duck. Now listen to me, if you're not of the world, stop hanging out with the world. Stop looking like the world, stop talking like the world, stop acting like the world, stop hanging out with the world. By the way, people will judge, most people don't know any Liberty Baptist church members, zero. You go to work, you meet them in the neighborhood, they meet you. You talk to them about the church, you invite them to church, but they see your faults. And by the way, they know your faults. And by the way, all of us have them. And the world understands that we are not perfect. But we should at least be trying to be perfect. And when I mean by that, I mean live righteously. I mean trying to live for the Lord. We're not ever going to be perfect in the sense of sinless. But again, they know no one else at Liberty Baptist Church. If you and your husband or wife, all they ever hear is yelling and hollering and cussing and the kids and then slamming doors and the attitude stuff. And, I mean, they know you go to Liberty Baptist Church. You know what they're going to think? Whew. That church over there. I mean, they're going to judge all of us by this individual. if you at work, told you years ago when I was in Oklahoma City, I was at the place they told us we could put whatever music we wanted. And I didn't put on Christian music. I knew then I did not want to listen to Christian music, so I tried to put on some classical, halfway in between my Christian and the crap they was playing, which was rock music. I'm out doing my work. It goes back to rock music. I'm thinking, that's a bunch of bull. Take my cart back over there, do my job, go back there and change it back in the break room, back to classical music. Go back to do my job. A few minutes later, it's rock music again. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. What was really crazy was I decided to wait. Next time I changed it to classical, I just stood over the side, waited to see who it was. I came back. He was a young man that attended Windsor Hills Baptist Church. He was the one that I was fighting with about the wrong kind of music. And by the way, you say, did it really matter to people? Oh, yeah, I gave out tracts, invited people to church, talking to one of them one day, trying to win them to the Lord, and they said, isn't that the church that Marvin goes to? I said, yeah, and they said, I don't want any. Now, it didn't matter whether I was living for the Lord or not. They had already judged Windsor Hills Baptist Church by that young man who was a knucklehead and a rebel doing his own thing. By the way, his own thing was sending people to hell. Because I was trying to witness to the person. The person didn't want to hear me about talking about Jesus because he was a lot louder than I was. Walks like a duck, talks like a duck, hangs around with ducks, probably a duck. Now, if you're not of the world, then don't advertise for the world. Don't dress like the world, don't look like the world, don't talk like the world. A Christian is a new creature in Christ. Live that way. Father, thank you for tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help each of us to realize, as children of God, we have a responsibility to represent